From South Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., and many points in between, this is Political Talk on AnnenbergRadio.org and NeonTommy.com. I'm Max Schwartz with Katie Gregg and Jenna DeKnight. Today on Political Talk, the Syrian civil war, are a logistics nightmare and a diplomatic miracle possible? The battle of the budget, will the government be open for business on October 1st? And the renewed gun control debate in America, will we see action this time around or just the same talk? Syria has given a list of chemical weapons facilities to international personnel. That is what the Los Angeles Times reported on Tuesday. This comes after Secretary of State John Kerry and Minister of Foreign Affairs Sergey Lavrov reached an agreement earlier in the month to put Syria's weapons under international control. So, do you think securing and dismantling the arsenal is really possible with the civil war going on?
I do think so. It's kind of hard because If the Assad regime, you know, is overthrown, then would the rebels then be working well with Russia and the rest of, you know, U.S., everyone else who's involved? I think that is kind of an issue with the plan that we have now. But I do think it's kind of the best thing we can do with what we can do now.
Yeah, no, I do think it's possible, but I think it's kind of almost that every nation is kind of, like, starting to, like, dip into the matter. And it's almost just kind of refiguring the way, like, the world powers are interacting. And I think that's kind of almost becoming more of a focus at this point. Like, the power struggle between, like, nations and, like, now Russia's getting, like...
What do you mean nations? It's two nations right now. And so far, as I'm seeing, it's only the U.S. and Russia trying to get involved and dismantle the weapons. Well, every other country's tried to stay out of it.
Well, yeah, you're right.
But then you have to think about who's allied with who. It's so much more than just, like...
Yeah.
Just the U.S. and Russia. We all have allies, like, who we support.
That's true, but in terms of boots on the ground, or lack thereof,
right,
with the rhetoric, it's just the U.S. and Russia, but that brings up a good point. And one thing that was in the New York Times this morning, and when I mean this morning, I'm talking about Thursday, the U.S., there were a bunch of rebel forces that have turned away from the central rebel leadership and are turning more towards al-Qaeda. So how do you believe this impacts any U.S. involvement, not impacts, but affects any U.S. involvement if the majority of the rebels are, or a large portion of the rebels are now with the al-Qaeda affiliate?
I mean, that definitely makes it kind of, I mean, we're just trying to leave, like, we're leaving the war. And, like, to then...
No, it's not... First of all, it's not a war, and we're not leaving anything.
No,
nothing's
not
been...
Syria with, like, Iraq and everything. Like, we're just, like, stepping away from that, and I just think that, like, with those ties, it kind of, like, brings us back into it more. I mean, we're trying to draw our troops out, like, completely out and, like, bring...
So are you suggesting that because of the al-Qaeda connection to some of the rebel forces that the U.S. will not intervene?
No, I'm saying that I think that kind of poses, like, more of an issue for us because we have, like, al-Qaeda in the U.S. are not, you know, we have a lot of conflict and the joining of them with Syria, like the Syrian rebels. Like,
but by arming the rebels, then we'd be arming then the rebels that are affiliated with al-Qaeda because it would be extremely difficult, unless the U.S. can find a way to do it, to arm only the ones that are secular.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's a big issue. I've in a lot of the Syria, like in the mountain areas, there's more al-Qaeda is focused more on making it an Islam revolution in Syria, too. So I don't know. I mean, I think the U.S. helping arm the rebels, I don't know. I think it's a hard situation to handle because we don't want to, you know, arm al-Qaeda. Essentially.
Yes, good point. And a lot of these rebels are turning to be very radical Islamists or something of that nature, no longer staying secular. So that's the big question. But another question that comes as being all part of this is if U.S. strikes alone, they're no longer considered, it won't be legitimate in the international community. I say legitimate in quotes. If there's not a U.N. resolution, do you believe that in the outskirts of the U.N. General Assembly that's wrapping up, do you believe that we will see a P5 member resolution from the U.N. Security Council?
Meaning that they would support a U.S.?
Yes. Well, they would support an international invasion or strike.
I think definitely not. Because I know, I mean, in the U.K., they were very opposed to striking.
Parliament was opposed to striking.
Right. But, I mean, Parliament is the U.K. I mean, yeah. That's who decides. So, no, I really don't think that the national community is going to want to go into Syria. And then if the U.S. did then act alone without the backing of the national community, it's same thing like with going into Iraq. Like, were we totally supported by the national community then?
No, and that's one of the questions that comes up with this. And
we had an issue.
The intelligence is also another big factor in all of this. But as people say, diplomacy is a game, so it's very interesting. And one more question on the topic is, where do you stand on the U.S. being the world's police?
I mean, I think that that's why Obama is hesitant, because he's kind of seeing that, I mean, it's not necessarily our job to be the police, like, for the world. So it's like, it's not really for sure whether or not it's our place to even be involved in the Syria matter. And, like, there's so many people that are against us going into it and, like, trying to help out. So I don't know.
What's your journalistic opinion, and what's the justification for said opinion?
Well, personally, I think that being the world's police, as you said, it's kind of correlates to, you know, which country is the most powerful. I feel like, you know, it's like who's more involved. Like, it's all a game of, you know, is Putin more powerful than Obama? Like, who's? I feel like it comes down to that with the being the world's police. So,
do you think we are or we aren't?
I kind of think that we are.
You think we should be?
We've acted as the world's police in the past.
I mean, I think as a strong nation, maybe that's what we need to do if we want to stay as powerful as we are as a country.
Jenna, do you have a comment?
Well, I was also just thinking, like, we are kind of in, like, a detrimental situation with losing power right now, especially with, like, our budget and everything. So the Syria issue, like, almost kind of can determine that one way or another, I think, because we're in such, like, a tight financial crunch right now also, and then, like, having, like, world power.
Do you think we should be the world's police?
Yes.
How come?
Because we have always been a very powerful nation, and we've always tried to help the quote unquote good guys. So I think that since innocent people are being harmed, it's always kind of been our goal. And
what happened to the innocent people that were being harmed before we knew that sarin gas was used, and the ones that were being shot with bullets? Where do you stand on us not intervening with that then?
What happened before that?
There was always people being killed. So, well, the issue was the issue with the
The U.S. didn't intervene then.
Right.
So why now?
I see what you're saying. Like I said, going back to, it's a power struggle, because now that they've used chemical weapons, it's like we have, since the U.N. said we're against chemical weapons, like, we will take action against any regime that uses them. So it's like we kind of have to.
And we have that proof that they were using.
We have proof
weapons.
That they use chemical weapons. Nowhere in the UN report does it state that Assad was the one to use them.
Well,
the United States believes that based on the evidence it has gathered and off various inspections and our own intelligence. But nowhere in the UN report did it say that Assad was single-handedly using the chemical weapons. The UN actually came out and said that both sides are both guilty of war crimes. But I want to move off the topic of Syria, and you bring up the budget, which is our next topic. And the U.S. is on track for a government shutdown, the first one since 1996. If Congress does not agree to a budget by midnight on September 30th, and what that means is that the government will only provide vital services on October 1st if a budget is not reached. And so far, the House has approved a resolution for a budget, but that resolution is also defunds Obamacare, and Harry Reid, majority leader of the U.S. Senate, has said that bills that involve the defunding of Obamacare will not come up for a vote. So I ask the both of you now, do you believe a budget will be passed in time to avoid a government shutdown?
I certainly hope so. I mean, it's going to really negatively affect our entire country if we end up having to shut down. I mean, employees, like nationally employed people employed by the government, they won't be paid, and that obviously is going to really cause an issue for, you know, people that are already financially struggling, and also just like the economy in general is just going to just have like a vicious cycle of just decline, mm-hmm. because people aren't going to be able to go to national museums or national parks, and that's going to stop like tourism.
Well, the economy is going to decline because it's going to throw our economy off balance, not just because the government's being closed, but because it's going to mess up the United States. And we have a very fragile economy, as Ben Bernanke pointed out when they didn't taper the bond buying.
I agree. I think it's in actually both political parties' best interest to pass something in time for October 1st deadline, because, you know, it doesn't look good for Republicans to have made the government shut down. You know, they don't want that either. They don't want to be the reason for all that, you know, like that looks bad on their part. And then obviously, you know, Democrats want to get Obamacare budget, you know, passed. So I do think that it's definitely I think there's going to be a resolution before
I'm
October
happy
1st.
You brought up Republicans, because I wanted to mention a point about John Boehner not being able to control the Tea Party sect of his own party, which is where this defund movement is coming from. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about Senator Ted Cruz in a moment, but there are House members as well who believe in the same movement. Does this show that John Boehner is one of the weakest speakers of the House we've ever had?
I don't think so. I think
why not?
Because it's not Boehner, it's the party. You know, there's a loud voice coming from the Tea Party. But I don't think that means that he's necessarily weak, because...
But the speaker is the leader of the party in the House, and they're generally responsible for keeping all the party in check and keeping those sects quiet in certain times and letting them talk otherwise. Because they are talking all the time, do you believe that the Tea Party is turning into its own third party?
I mean, possibly. I think that, you know, their ideas are differ pretty greatly from other, like, less conservative Republicans. So, yeah, I could definitely see maybe a third party coming up because of that, yeah.
Okay. And did you have an input, Jenna?
Oh, no, I think Katie covered it.
Okay. And as I mentioned, we talk about Ted Cruz, and then we have to move on to our third topic. Ted Cruz spent, I believe it is 22 hours on the Senate floor giving a long speech that wasn't a filibuster. I want to make that clear, because the media has used the term filibuster, but it was not a filibuster because he did not delay a vote. He stopped speaking at noon so the chamber could resume order. But that he was doing that as kind of a spiel to have the Senate defund the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Do you believe he was successful in any way?
I don't think so, really. I don't think so, no.
No, I don't think so either. And I just kind of, I know that obviously a lot of our funds are allocated towards Obamacare, like to have that in place and all. But then what if we...
They don't want to defund it because of that. They want to defund it because they're against the law as a fundamental ideological principle.
But isn't it also kind of like... because we're in such a budget crisis, like, isn't that kind of, wouldn't you say that's another, like, point to that? Is because we're trying to, like, bail ourselves out?
No, I think the reason they're defunding Obamacare is single-handedly because they don't like it.
So you don't think it has anything to do with our financial situation?
No, because even if we were in a good financial state, they'd try the same thing.
Well, Republicans have never liked
Well, no,
Obamacare.
I know that. But I'm just saying, I don't know. I just thought it kind of... with the timing that it's all in, I just thought it kind of, like, there was, like, an underlying
Well, we're
factor.
No stranger to 11th-hour deals, so you never know what's going to happen. And one topic for next week's episode and in later episodes, Jack Lew, Secretary of the Treasury, said that October 17th is the day we'd run out of money. So that's the day we're going to have the fiscal cliff and the debt ceiling all figured out, so we'll talk about money then. That's a very good point. And our final topic is gun control in America. We had 13 people killed in the Washington Navy Yard, one of which was the gunman. And will this incident, especially because it happened at a military facility, which turns out had weak security anyways, do you believe that this incident will turn all the rhetoric into action?
I do. I think that because it happened in the Naval Yard, I think it just brought the issue closer to home and really started, like, affecting it brought the issue more in just, like, closer realms. And, like, people just started feeling it and understanding it more than they really ever have before. And I think that this is such a serious issue, and it has been for a couple years now. I just think that this particular Naval Yard shooting, I think it really is going to prompt legislation and, like, actually, you know, get the ball rolling and, like, having things.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Two things, which are Secretary Hagel is addressing the issue of security on military installations around the world, mm-hmm. which was definitely one part of this, because in my personal viewpoint, people shouldn't be allowed to get into a military installation without having to be
right.
screened and just showing ID, because that poses a whole bunch of security risk if someone has a fake ID or someone has a hidden weapon, something of that nature. But you bring up legislation. Now, the NRA, which is the National Rifle Association, they basically single-handedly removed two Colorado state senators, one of which was the Senate leader, John Morrison, the other was Angela Heron, from office because they were for relatively lax gun control measures after the Aurora movie theater massacre. So do you think that Congress people are going to be scared to do anything if the NRA did this by spending $350,000 beating Michael Bloomberg's spending in the millions?
I don't really think that they're going to be scared to act. I mean,
it's an election year, or we're coming up on an election year.
Yeah, but I just think that with all of the gun control issues that have happened, like, so recently, I just think that it's really, like, scaring people in general. I mean, it raises a concern, too, of, like, who we're allowing to even, like you said, like, enter these, like, important places like Naval Yard and, like, who's working there. I mean, it's just, it raises so many issues and concerns, and I think that people would feel a lot safer to have gun control implemented because, I mean, the way everything's going right now, it's just kind of craziness.
Oh, I'll respond to that in a minute. Katie, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know, it's kind of interesting because the NRA actually gave less money, as you mentioned, to taking
to the recall effort.
Right. It's not like, it's just maybe it's more pointed effort, direct effort on the NRA's part. So I think it comes down to who the what state we're talking about. Colorado, I know, has, you know,
they were leaning blue, so it's interesting. It shows the power of the people.
But it's hard because, I mean, Colorado has, you know, an urban population who
very want, true, a hunting state.
Right. It's a hunting state, but it has the urban population who wants maybe more strict gun control policies. So I don't know. I think the candidates are kind of going to have to, maybe in more red states, yeah, they're going to worry about NRA and just people in general not supporting that. I think it depends on the state.
And going back to Jenna's point, if nothing was done immediately after Sandy Hook and nothing was done immediately after Aurora, what makes you think that having it strike at a military installation, quote unquote, closer to home is going to cause action?
Well, because the military, I mean, it is the government, right? So I think that maybe that'll make it seem like very, you know, high up on the chain, I guess. They're attacking. It's getting in the way of our military who are, you know, I feel like everyone kind of feels a sentimental tie to the military. And little kids. So that Aurora and I don't know. I think just since it's so close to the government, that's going to make it.
Okay.
And just the issue in general, I think, is just getting way out of hand. It's just been so many situations, like, so frequent. It's almost because I think that, I even forget, like, what the first incident was that kind of, like, sparked this whole chain. But there's just been so many, like, shooting incidents. And I think that mm-hmm. it's just going to, people see that, and then it puts it in their minds, and then they go out and do it, too. And, I mean, a lot of people that have acted upon this and were the shooters, you know, they have mental illnesses or whatnot, but I just think that it's going to be an issue for a while if we don't put a stop to it now, because their ability, like, these just anyone's mm-hmm. ability to just get their hands on these kind of serious weapons that can kill so many innocent people and people that are protecting our country.
That's a very good point. And again, we're going to have to wait and see. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have to stop because we have reached our time limit. Thank you, Jenna, and thank you, Katie. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to Political Talk. We would like to thank Joel Zink, our engineer, and Karen Lowe and Willis Seidenberg, the Annenberg Radio News co-faculty advisors, for all of their help. From the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism, I'm Max Schwartz, along with Katie Gregg and Jenna DeKnight. We hope to have you back next week, but in the meantime, you can reach us at politicaltalkpodcast@gmail.com and on Twitter by using the hashtag #PoliticalTalkPodcast.